Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 185 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again. Today on the show, we have so much stuff to go over. It's ridiculous. We're going to have Tracy Wilson on for basically the entire show because we've got this huge list. It's funny because we're looking at all the things that have happened in the last 2 weeks. And then you think about these things, and you're like, no, that's been the last month. It's like, no, it hasn't even been 2 weeks. So among these things are a new gun ban, if you guys remember that. I would imagine that you do. And a lot of general politics to do with the liberals and Mark Carney. And there could be an election coming up in a matter of days. We had the Toronto Sportsman Show. We've got details on the AGM. We've got a little bit of details on the poster project. All that and more. CCFR Radio starts right now. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. Ready, Aim, Shop. Bullseye North is where passion meets precision. Discover a huge selection of top-notch rifles, accessories, and ammo. Whether you're perfecting your aim at the range or gearing up for hunting season, Bullseye North has you covered with free shipping on orders over $300, including ammo. Some exclusions apply. Check out bullseyenorth.com and remember to subscribe to their newsletter, bullseyenorth.com. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. All right, we are back in via Skype. We've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
You know, I heard that a lot this past weekend. The Wilson!
Yeah. Got it. Hear a lot of that stuff. And you know, it's funny, I said to you, just since this is the podcast, we can, you know, we can just do what we normally do, just have honest conversation. You know, it's funny what a gimmick that turned out to be. I can't remember what I was thinking the first time that I did it. It was sort of like, you know, Wilson, like the volleyball from Castaway. And then Now it's just like, it's as CCFR radio podcast as the CCFR radio podcast logo is.
Yeah, like I even introduced myself just as Wilson, you know. Yeah, it's just the way it is. I like it.
Yeah, well, we definitely heard that a lot. I guess preemptively, I just want to mention, I had told people, we just came back from TSS. I flew home yesterday from Toronto. We're recording this on Tuesday. And I remember telling a lot of people during the show that my brain is like a baked potato right now because we have a lot of stuff going on. Plus, I was traveling, whatever. And the same is true today.
Yeah. So. I also have trade show legs and trade show voice. So
yeah,
we're in rough shape, but we're here and that's what matters.
Yeah. And we got home. I got home yesterday afternoon, actually. I was able to kind of relax last night and then it's podcast and TV week. And that has to be submitted by Thursday morning for television and for upload. And then I can catch up on some work on Friday. And then I've got the BC Outdoor Show.
Oh, yes, that's correct.
And
yeah.
Aren't you going to Quebec?
I'm going to Quebec the following weekend. So between now and then, I'm going to be stuffing poster tubes like a madman because I know the clubs out there are looking for them. I've got them. I just got to get down there and get it done. So that's going to start as soon as I'm done recording here today and continue until they're all out. So,
But wait, and then I reminded you that we have a CCFR insiders meeting tonight at 5 p.m. my time. So
yeah, today's like one of those like 21 hour work days. Yeah.
Yeah. So super fun. It's a little insane. And I feel like I might've caught something at TSS.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. We shake a lot of hands. So
yeah. Anyways. All right. But the battle rages on, man.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they can't put us down.
Okay, so another thing that we were saying earlier is it is at stuff is going at light speed right now. We just did a podcast and the TV show 2 weeks ago. And then I'm looking down at the list because, as I mentioned a thousand times, I keep a running list. So do you during those 2 week periods, so that when we get time to record the podcast, that we have a list there. We don't have to, rack our brains. And holy man, has a lot happened since just the last podcast.
Yeah, it feels like, although it was only 2 weeks ago, it feels like it was 6 months ago because there's so much. I got reams of pages here of stuff to talk about. Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
It is crazy. All right. So let's get started because we've got a ton of stuff to go through. So the first thing, there was another gun ban, as everyone has heard the news nonstop. But basically, when we recorded the last podcast, it hadn't happened yet. We knew it was happening any day, but we didn't know exactly when or if maybe they would not do it. So there was a gun ban.
Yeah, that's right. So March 7th, the government announced that they were adding a list of 179 more makes and models to the prohibited list. Now, granted, most of the guns on this list were the M1 or variants of. There's also two different amnesty dates. So you've got the first gun ban back in May of 2020, another list out with 324 more models in December of 2024. Both of those gun bans have an amnesty date of October 30th, 2025, this coming fall. Now, this new gun ban list has a new amnesty date of March 1st, 2026, so next year. So I know there's been a lot of confusion over all that. Of course, it's clear as mud for gun owners, but I'd hate to see somebody get themselves in some trouble. So, yes, Associate Minister of Public Safety Rachel Bendayan held a press conference. It was actually kind of comical. We can speak freely on the podcast here, but she wasted like a half hour rearranging the set to accommodate all these anti-gunners she brought with her. And you and I have done many parliamentary press conferences. You send in your requirements. You know, this is what I need. This is how many people are coming. She had people there from the, docs that hate gun owners. Polly was there, the Danforth families, the mosque people. She had everybody. And it was like 37 minutes or something of them, rearranging the set. So by the time she got started, she only had time to read her announcement and then take a couple of questions. But she had planned for all these anti-gun lobby groups to be able to also speak. So the press gallery shut her down on that, which was kind of comical and my favorite part of it. But just a total comedy of errors. This totally symbolic of how this government operates, right?
Yeah, fly by the seat of your pants. Yeah, I know that you were watching on CPAC, so was I. So I went to CPAC, turned on the live stream, and at whatever, I don't know, 3 minutes to 11 Pacific. No, 3 minutes to 11 Eastern, the screen turns on. And there's a table with all these mics and chairs and everything. And then nothing's going on for, I don't know, like 10 minutes. And because I was just, grinding away doing the stuff I needed to do while I had that thing on in the background. And then after like 10 minutes, here comes everyone to rearrange everything. And it was like, I think it was around 11:30 Eastern by the time these people went on the stage. And it's just, to use your word, symbolic of just how they, it's just like, let the press corps wait. Let everyone in the country that's waiting to hear this announcement or whatever, let them wait until we're ready to stroll out there half an hour, 35 minutes, whatever it was late. And, they have just so much contempt. And it's strange because you think about if you have kids and if they're older and you're trying to instill some values, you see, some of us still have values here in Canada. You're like, hey, if you tell someone you're going to be somewhere, at a certain time, you be there, man. Like you have to be there. Yeah. It's not an option. If you commit to somebody, much less probably, 100,000 people that are waiting for this announcement because it impacts them. Anyway,
that's right. You've got the whole press gallery there, legacy media, everybody waiting and they're all just standing around. And the problem is when that's going on, they're not able to do other work. So you could tell the press gallery was a little testy with her. And just totally refused to let any of the anti-gun lobbyists read their speeches.
By adding more semi-automatics into our communities. And that is why I am here today. Thank you.
Merci.
I would now...
Merci. Merci. Thank you. On va maintenant passer à la période des questions.
We'll now go to questions. Oh, I have a few more things to say, if you'll allow.
We'll be speaking now from the Canadian Doctors for Protection from Guns, followed by a number of other speeches, and I will then proceed to questions.
Madame la ministre, il est déjà 11h40. Ça a commencé très en retard.
Madam Minister, we've started rather late. I think we should move directly to questions. And it is the press gallery that is moderating this event, so we'll go to questions.
Good morning. You just mentioned that a government of a different stripe, the Conservatives, could undo.
So the only one who got to speak really was Bendayan. And there's a great video by Soapbox Guns where he did this beautiful takedown of all the lies in her press conference. She said things like, you know, the violent gun crime rate is going down since they've started banning guns. And it must be because, you know, less guns out there in society, you know, so less violence. And it's hilarious because he breaks it down with some numbers from the gun blog showing that there's actually more guns owned at this point than there ever has been in history. Because, of course, every time they're about to ban stuff, everybody's going out rush buying everything. So it was just... Yeah, it was, he does a great video of it. It's totally worth the watch. It's not very long, but it's well worth it. And what's really interesting is when she did the press conference, she said, this is in effect immediately, which means right now, instantly. And then, of course, proceeded to not release the list of these guns until later in the day. So, you know, I'm thinking, what if you're at the range and then you hear that there's some gun ban going on, but you have no idea? I mean, you know, I guess there'd be ways around that, but just a total fiasco. She even made mention of the SKS and it being a former weapon of war now used for hunting. But of course, with an election looming, they decided not to ban it this time around. And I'm sure they'll catch it should they be successful in the upcoming election. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the reason that she gave was that many Indigenous are using it for hunting.
Yeah.
So then yeah. It must not be dangerous.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that were designed for one purpose and, of course, eventually used for other things. A Jeep is a great example, right? It was a, a car of war, an SUV of war. And now, of course, I have a Jeep Cherokee sitting in my laneway. So things evolve, but apparently not liberal talking points. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So that happened. So we can move on to the next thing. And when it comes to even the rest of politics, because we've got to do a little bit of a political roundup right now, because there's a lot of things moving and a lot of things that are going to affect your life as a gun owner that are happening right now. And it's and at light speed. So another thing that happened just within the last 2 weeks was the Liberal leadership contest was decided. Turns out Mark Carney is the new Liberal leader and now has been sworn in. Like I said, a lot of stuff has happened in 2 weeks. And there's a lot of interesting things going on with that, even just the leadership race itself.
Yeah, that's right. So no surprise to anyone, Mark Carney did win leadership. He actually won with 85% of the vote, so overwhelming. Now, the Liberals bragged about signing up 400,000 Canadians for their free Liberal membership during leadership, but only 150,000 were verified to vote, which is, you know, what happened to the other 250,000 people. And he also dominated, imagine this, in every single one of the 343 ridings. If you look at it, Chrystia Freeland only received 8% of the vote. And Carney supposedly dominated even in her Toronto area riding. They want us to believe that in Freeland's own riding, where she's actually quite popular, she only received 188 votes, while Carney received 1,322. The same thing happened in Karina Gold's riding, where she is quite popular. She only received 190,000 votes, from people while Carney got 818. So in the end, 0.3% of Canadians voted for your new unelected prime minister. I know this is the way our system is set up, but it, you know, it sucks. So
yeah,
a little questionable.
Yeah, democracy in action. And you know what's interesting? One of the first, and I couldn't, this was a little bit of a political issue that I couldn't let go because it's just, it's such bad decision making. I know the Liberals make a lot of bad decisions. I realize this. But what one of the first things that Mark Carney decided to do is he decided to sign a fake order in council on TV and make it look like an executive order signed by Trump. It's funny because they've been campaigning about how they're nothing like Trump and how Pierre Poilievre is just like Trump. And then they turn around and they copy Trump's thing. So basically he's repealing the carbon tax. You know, he's brought a folder, you know, and he opens the folder and he's, you know, says whatever. And then he signs it and then slaps the folder closed, you know, case closed on the carbon tax. You know, I'm for the common man. And the prime minister doesn't have the authority to sign orders in council. Only the governor general does.
That's right. This was purely performative and it was totally Trump-like, even down to the using a Sharpie to sign it. And he actually just reduced the consumer carbon tax rate to $0. He actually didn't repeal the law itself because, of course, that would require legislation. And the House not only isn't sitting, he's not a member of parliament. So, yeah, the whole thing is hilarious. It's just totally performative theater for the silly Canadians who buy into it. And that's it. Now, after that, so he's been the prime minister for basically the weekend, right? I think Canadians would expect his first official trip would probably be down to the United States to maybe, you know, negotiate a new trade deal, fend off this tariff war with Trump. You know, that's the whole reason he ran, apparently. But Canadians would be wrong. He spent the weekend in Europe hanging out with the French president and, of course, the King of England. And then did a disastrous press conference afterwards. So I got all kinds of things to say about that. But I got to tell you, the best thing I heard was a National Post article. And here's what they said. I'm going to quote it. Mark Carney has been prime minister for all of a weekend, and he already can't be bothered with the conventions of Canadian democracy. Carney has not led his party to an election victory, nor has he even tested the confidence of the House of Commons. And yet, despite this almost comical lack of democratic legitimacy, he is behaving like a normal head of government, making policy and going on high-profile international trips. It is sheer madness that this is happening. So, yeah, it's just funny. He's been the prime minister for a couple of days, and what's he do? Takes off to Europe, where he's from. So,
well, and he meets with the king. Like, what does the king have to do with anything right now?
Nothing.
How is the King of England, who is just basically a figurehead and has no influence on what goes on in Canada other than some, you know, old traditional ceremonial stuff. And there's a trade war looming with our closest ally who, you know, 80% of the Canadian population lives within whatever it is, 10 kilometers of the border. And it's like not even worth his time to go straighten that out, which is, you know, which is what everyone says. Oh, he's the only guy strong enough to deal with Trump. It's like, okay, well, I'll put Trump on the back burner because, hey, you know, what harm can a few tariffs do to the Canadian, the struggling and ultra fragile Canadian economy? I don't know, man.
Well, I'll tell you, I think there's a reason he didn't go down and see Trump right away. And that's because he's very, very thin skinned. He ended up, excuse me, I got that trade show voice, doing a press conference in England. And, you know, it's interesting because the Canadian media can't get any commentary from him. He doesn't do interviews. He's not doing media in Canada. So what do? They get on a plane and they fly over there to interview him. And there was a question from Stephanie Levitz from Global. You know, they have some questions about all his investments. And there's a bunch of stuff that happens when you become the prime minister and you have to make sure there isn't a conflict of interest between your personal wealth and investments. And he's got a lot of wealth. And then the decisions, the policy decisions you make that affect the country that could possibly benefit you, right? So there were some questions about that, which are totally legitimate. It's part of our system. And he was just wildly offended, not just at the question, but the fact that anyone would question him at all. And in fact, Rosie Barton from CBC, no friend to conservatives, asked him some questions about that as well. And he told her to look inside herself and accused her of accusing him of stuff. So he was totally smug, sanctimonious, holier than thou. He's got some kind of weird, like, savior complex, because he even said, I've served in the private sector. I've stood up for Canada. I have left my roles in the private sector at this time of crisis for our country. Like, politicians do not gift themselves to the public. It's not a thing. So, yeah, he's made some questionable decisions, and he's even made some very strange appointments. I think you wanted to talk about that.
Yes. You know, one of the interesting things, I guess, this could all fall under the umbrella of he's running as an outsider. If you remember that, like Stephen Colbert, you know, these are our modern day masters of propaganda, right? And he's like, you're running as an outsider. He's like, I am an outsider. It's like, this guy's signature is on your money, right? And it's funny. It's like Mark Gerritsen went and he tweeted this, like, oh, you have our new prime minister's autograph in your pocket right now. Like, it's some kind of gotcha. It's like, man, I thought people were sick and tired of global level elitist, you know, royalty level people, you know, pushing their policies down, making a common person poorer with things like the carbon tax on home heating, as if that's a luxury. I mean, maybe someday it will be, but, you know, and you know, he's an outsider. He's going to change it all. It's fresh face. It's like his cabinet is all recycled Trudeau cabinet members. And he appoints Marco Mendicino as his chief of staff. And, you know, it's amazing because you couldn't find a more ridiculous, absurd, incompetent MP than Marco Mendicino, so much so that he's not running again. He humiliated himself so many times on almost every file that he touched that he was even turfed by Justin Trudeau.
Hi there, Minister. Thank you. First off, just a quick thing about Mark Lapine. You keep referencing that he was apprehended by a gun registry, but he shot himself at the scene of the murder there at Polytechnic. Can you explain how the gun registry was assisting in that?
Well, again, from those who were at Poly-Sisuvien, and there are some who are here today and some whom I spoke with. Words cannot do justice to what they have had to endure, not only in the shooting itself at Polytechnic, but the courage, the bravery, and the persistence that they have shown in the years and now decades is remarkable and inspiring. And the
This is the chief of staff for Carney and David Lametti's bringing back David Lametti. David Lametti, isn't he the one that wanted to use tanks on protesters and on Parliament Hill or something? Like, these people are insane. And that's who he surrounded himself with. So it's basically exactly the same thing. And I guess there's a lot of questions about his relationship, actual familial relationship with the Trudeaus. So, and I don't know the details of that, so I'm not going to get into that, but it's just, I don't know. So I guess all that to say, the polls are interesting to me because who are these people in Canada that are so easily manipulated that they would think that this is anything but actually Trudeau pulling the strings somewhere, or Carney continuing to pull the strings. Now he just cut his puppet off Trudeau and now he's pulling them himself, you know?
I think that's more likely the case. In fact, even at Gerald Butts was at his coronation, but 83% of the much smaller Carney cabinet are actually part of the Trudeau cabinet. So, yeah, nothing's really changed there. And it's interesting. I know that I think the idea here is people are saying, well, this guy's got all kinds of international economic experience. But if you talk to British citizens about what he did to their economy as the Bank of England governor, you know, it's not good news. So I think the polls are not great right now. I think those will change around. The more we hear from Carney, the more ridiculous, awful things he says. And I think that will affect people. But yeah, you're right. I mean, prorogation ends next Monday, well, Monday as of time of recording. And he's not even able to enter the House of Commons chamber. He'd have to sit up in the gallery with me. So I want you to think about what that would look like when, you know, if he doesn't call an election between now and Monday, the House of Commons will resume. You'll have Poilievre and the Conservatives on one side, the NDP over in the corner where they belong. And then you'll have the Liberal side. Justin Trudeau is still a Liberal MP until the next election. Now he's just a backbencher. He's relegated to the backbenches. So you'll have that front and center Liberal seat that is usually customarily held by the Prime Minister. It's going to be glaringly empty while he's sitting up in the viewing gallery. So I would expect an election to be called anytime. He will have to go back to the Governor General and ask her to drop the writ. And then it's full speed ahead. So we'll see what happens. At the end of the day, the poll that matters most is the voting booth.
So. Yeah. And whatever the that bump in the polls, and we talked about this at TSS relentlessly, right? Because everyone yes. has usually the same questions for us when they come out. That bump in the polls, there's a little bit of poll manipulation for sure. You could have some excited Liberals, right? They have yeah. They have a new leader. But at the same time, I don't know. I have a hard time believing that there's that many Canadians that are taken in by this charade. And and I think we're going to end up going to the polls sooner than later. Although if we war gamed it just for a second, the longer that that the Liberals drag this parliament on until the next election, the longer Canadians have to get to know who Mark Carney really is, which
yeah.
You know, most people figured that out right away because you just look into him, right? That's all you need to do is look, okay, well, who is this guy? Is he an outsider? Or actually, is he so powerful that his signature is on my money? You yeah. know, or let me look at what else he's done in his career. Let me look at where he's been, you know, which is the most elite financial institutions in the world and a very bad reputation for his work so far in as a central banker, both in almost imploding the Canadian economy and then what the British have to say about him. Yeah, I don't think the Liberals want to let Canadians have that long to get to know him because he's no. not likable. And on top of that, it also gives an opportunity to the Conservatives to counter his message.
Yeah, that's why I think we're going to go early. But the real story of the polling is the absolute tragedy that is Jagmeet Singh. You want to talk about losing support. The NDP right now is polling at 11%. So when they were elected back, when the last election happened in 2024, they won 25 seats. So it was pretty significant. And if you think back just 6 or even 8 weeks ago, before prorogation, when the House was sitting, the Conservatives kept hitting with these confidence votes. And of course, Jagmeet kept saying he was, you know, didn't support the Liberals anymore, but then of course he'd support them. If he had actually voted with the Conservatives on one of those confidence motions, I'll tell you right now, you'd have a new prime minister. It'd be Pierre Poilievre, and Jagmeet Singh would be the leader of the official opposition. He'd be moving into Stornoway as we speak, getting it all set up. But instead, they're polling at 11%. They're set to win 7 seats, and that keeps dropping. You need 12. To have official party status. So a short 6 weeks ago from recording, he had the opportunity to be the leader of Her Majesty's loyal opposition. And now he's pulling to not even have official party status. So to me, that's the real tragedy here. He will get no credit for any role that he played in any of the policies that he got the liberals to do. There's no thanks from them. Carney won't even talk to him. And yeah, he deserves every bit of it. So that part I'll celebrate regardless of the outcome.
Yeah, he's probably one of the worst leaders, if not the worst leader the NDP has ever had in the history of their party.
Yeah, he's pretty much destroyed it. So good job.
Yeah, just that I find that actually all quite interesting.
Yeah.
You know, his choices and his, you know, his reputation couldn't be worse. Like, I don't think there's another politician, maybe Trudeau, that has a reputation as destroyed, as damaged as his. And on top of that, he's taken his party into the abyss. I don't know, man. You can only imagine what it's like to be, you know, one of the higher ups in the NDP, you know, like the party executive director or the president of the NDP of the party, right? You just be like, you know, wow, what a journey.
Well, and every other party, when their leader blows it, you know, I mean, they usually hold a leadership race. That's kind of how it goes. But with the NDP, they just keep putting that same guy back in the position. And, you know, I can't help but wonder about people like our friends, Alistair McGregor. You'll remember him from SecU. Like, what is he saying? What are those inner caucus meetings like? You know, what, like, they talk about blowing yourself up. This will be historic. So,
yeah.
Yep, they deserve every bit of it, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know who would have been just as good? Peter Julian.
Oh, yeah.
Because his reputation is almost equally as bad, at least in my opinion, as Jagmeet Singh's. What a horrible politician. Okay, so we covered that. Let's move on from politics, although there's so much to talk about. We could actually talk about politics for another probably 40 minutes, but not worth it. Okay, I wanted to make mention that our great friends over at Wolverine Supplies have donated $10,000 to the CCFR. What a great gift.
Yeah, that's awesome. They're always so great. Last year when I was out for Wolverine Days, they had talked about that. Of course, they do a fundraiser for us there. And yeah, just a really nice, wholesome, family-run business. I love them.
Yeah, really great. So we really appreciate the help because we have lots of things to do, at least in the next little while. Okay, so you and I were at the Toronto Sportsman Show. We sort of touched on that already. Got to meet a lot of great people, and we just want to throw some shout-outs to some companies that really helped the CCFR over TSS.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to send a special thank you to Dirty Leather. He makes like the coolest leather goods there. He had a donation jar at his booth for us, and he raised over $500 in that donation jar. So a big thanks to Josh at Dirty Leather. I wanted to really thank Shooter's Choice. They donated the rifle package that we drew, and that thing was worth over $2,200, $2,200. So just amazing. Vortex also sent us a vinyl package for the draw there. So a big thank you to them. Fort Scott Munitions gave us some ammo for that rifle in the package. And of course, we couldn't do any of this stuff without our volunteers. So I know, you know, we've said it before, Rod and I are kind of out in front and we get a lot of the thank yous and handshakes. But to be perfectly honest, you know, we're just a representative of this big team that stands behind us, volunteers their time away from their families. Everybody's got jobs and lives and things to do. And we've got some great people. And of course, Greg Weiss here in Ontario is like my right-hand dude. I'm telling you, that guy hauls everything there. He sets up the booth. He organizes the volunteers. He makes sure everyone gets lunch, tears it all down, brings it all home, does inventory, does the numbers, like just a ton of work. And then, of course, Mike Blako from the show, it just treats us so well. And I'm so grateful for everything that that all these companies and people do for us.
Yep. Yeah. It's I don't know. It's super inspiring. I wish there were more ways that we could express our gratitude. But, you know, none of this stuff works without all these people. It just doesn't happen without all of them. So it's just, super grateful for all their help. Okay. And
I got something.
Go ahead.
Well, I did an interview last week before the show with Brian Lilly, and we were looking at this study done by the Privy Council. So it's the government's own study. And it was, they were studying crime fears of people in the GTA, which is kind of weird. I mean, there is a lot of rising crime and violence there and home invasions and everything else. But of course, it's Liberal Canada, right? You've got 49 ridings there that the Liberals won in the last campaign. So this study showed that that the feelings towards fear of crime are worsening as the crime continues, and a growing number of individuals feel compelled to legally obtain a firearm because they want it for self-defense, which is kind of crazy because this is the most anti-gun government in history, based out of Toronto, more or less, right? That's who elects them. And their own citizens in their own ridings now want to get armed up. And when I was talking to Brian, I was telling him I'm a member of a bunch of different Facebook groups. I think we all are, all kinds of different interests. And I'm in a group called the Ottawa Moms Group. And it's, you know, just a group of moms, and there's all kinds of stuff in there, recipes, school lunch ideas, you know, where's the best place to get soccer cleats, you know, stuff like that. And there was a post in there last week from a mom who feels that with the rising crime and violence and the way the world is going, she wanted to know how to get a gun. And I thought, I saw the post, you know, I posted National Range Day in there before and they've deleted it. So I saw the post and I couldn't believe it was still up. So I went and I scanned through the comments, and almost every single one of the 40 or 50 comments in there were other urban moms, you know, urban soccer moms who agree, and they all want to get armed up. And it just shows you how far we've come from a situation where you guys are voting for the government that has resulted, their policies has resulted in all this rising crime and violence. And now you're like, hey, I need to get a gun to protect myself. So just a really interesting conversation from the people you'd expect it from the least, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first reaction to a lot of people would be like, well, now you want to come over to our side kind of thing. Like, where were you when all this other stuff was going on? But on the contrary, I'm glad that this conversation is happening.
Yeah.
You know, and the situation in Canada, we've talked about it before, so I won't spend a lot of time on it, but the situation in Canada is just, it's so bizarre. It is just, it's otherworldly, where you have, you know, 40 years of just emotionally hammering on Canadians to reject the idea that they can have some part to play if someone wants to take their lives or their things or abuse them or whatever. And that they have some role to play to stop people from doing that, from harming their kids or invading their home or worse, right? And now it's like, well, it has to come to your house. It has to come to your neighborhood for you to be like, oh, yeah, maybe I was wrong this whole time. And one of the things that I forget, there was a bit of an exchange on X, and someone was making commentary on self, you know, firearms for self-defense and how, you know, I guess people more to the left of the political spectrum are just like, how could you say such a thing? And so there was some criticism of that. And it's like, you know what? That's not the bad part. That's not the worst part. The worst part is that people like that, it's not that they don't want to buy a gun to defend themselves, or they reject the idea of defending themselves. They want to use the physical force of government to prevent you from doing it.
Yeah.
And that's the part that, for me, that's the part that can drive me quite wild. It's they want to stop you from doing it so that they can feel better about themselves. They can feel superior, morally superior somehow. So they would rather see you as a victim. You lose your life. You be physically assaulted. Have your things taken, your children harmed, so that they can sit back and say, well, that's not Canadian, we're not Americans, or whatever the stupidity is, right? But it's just very interesting to me. Until it comes to you and you experience reality, God forbid, now all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, maybe that's just not some weird talking point from, you know, it's just interesting to me. It's like you got, people need to be hit over the head. They have to experience these things in order for them to even grasp it. I would just think that, you know, humans being animals that have quite vivid imaginations can just imagine those things, figure out what's reasonable, and then form a reasonable opinion from that.
The situation and the conversation is becoming far more mainstream than I ever imagined it would. So,
yeah,
you know,
and it needs to.
Yeah, it does.
People need to not, people need, you have an inherent human right to fight for your life if someone is trying to take it from you in all circumstances.
Yeah.
And I mean all of them. But anyway, that's just
very basic.
Yeah, yeah. It's part of my sort of belief system. Mm-hmm. But as you know, I'm a right wing radical, apparently. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And good catch, because we had that on the list somewhere, or we were talking about it, but it didn't make it on the list, that study. Very interesting.
Yeah. I just think it's cool because I've been trying to have this conversation for 10 years. And then I open up my phone and there's a bunch of soccer moms talking about getting armed up. And I'm like, okay, wow, here we are.
Yep. So. Well, I'm glad the conversation is at least happening. Okay. Last thing we're going to talk about is the annual general meeting. There's some more details and you can actually buy tickets now.
That's right. Ticket sales are live. You can find them at ccfragm.ca. I'll also get it up on our main website at ccfr.ca. But we will be hosting it this year in beautiful Niagara Falls, June 28th at the Americana Conference Resort Spa and Water Park. And I got to tell you, it has an amazing water park in this hotel. I am most excited for that. But yeah, we'll have our business meeting, same kind of deal as usual. Beautiful buffet dinner. And then we're going to dance the night away. We're going to celebrate because the theme this year is the family reunion because we've got our 10-year anniversary. You know, we definitely have become family, that's for sure, over the years. And it's open to everybody. So check out all the details at ccfragm.ca.
Well, that's right, Ms. Wilson.
Thank you. That's my radio voice. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. I think we covered everything.
I think we did it. We're good. We're awesome. Done.
Well, thanks for the update. And I guess we will see you next time.
We'll see you then.
Are you ready to fight for your ability to legally own and use firearms in Canada and save hundreds of dollars in hunting and shooting merchandise? Download the CCFR mobile app right now. Keep up with what's going on in the community, watch the CCFR podcast, and get exclusive discounts from dozens of gun stores and other CCFR business members. Download it right now from Google Play, the Apple App Store, or the cancel-proof Progressive web app. The CCFR mobile app, free to download right now.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 185 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. Really appreciate it. Make sure you share this podcast with everybody. Get everybody involved that you possibly can. I know I say that every single time, but it's never been more true than it is right now. So a couple of things before I let you go. Number one, I want to say thank you and give a shout out to Yannick and everyone over at Armorum. I believe that's the way that you pronounce their business name. But basically, we met these guys over at TSS, and they had had a neon CCFR clock produced, and they were raffling one off as a fundraiser, and they gave one to Tracy Wilson to put in her studio. So you'll see that in the next episode. So thank you, Yannick, and everyone over there. Really appreciate your help. Next thing is an update to Operation Pitchfork, the poster project aspect of it. You know, I mentioned this in the last podcast, and then it was probably a few days later, and people are emailing us, hey, am I on the list? I didn't get my posters. And I'm like, okay, I love the enthusiasm. Absolutely love it. But hang on a minute, man. I had mentioned that they were going to go out the following week. They didn't because we had TSS and we had to move the entire store from Ottawa to Mississauga, Ontario for that. People are flying in, speeches, all kinds of stuff to prep for that. Plus we had some other things going on. We did not have time to get those posters out. But if you're watching this on Thursday or Friday, the posters went out this week on Tuesday and Wednesday. So give it another week or so. If you're a business or a gun club, you haven't received it, receive the posters, then just let us know and we'll make sure that you get them. All right, that's the deal there. The rest of Operation Pitchfork is moving along slowly. We do have a bunch of materials, let's call them that, that are prepared for our next part of that. But things are changing so quickly politically. As I mentioned, we had to redo a bunch of the stuff, which no one's more angry about that than I am. So, because I have to do a bunch of those things, right? So all that stuff is moving along quite nicely. So you'll see that when the time comes. And then the last thing, Tracy and I talked to hundreds and hundreds of people over those 4 days. And people are asking a variety of questions like, hey, do you think the conservatives are really going to do this for? I'm like, yeah, absolutely they are. I don't run the conservatives. I can't tell you 100%, but from as far as I can tell you, it's 100%, meaning that the conservatives would be crazy to try to O'Toole us because look how that worked out for him. The conservatives are going to need every single vote that they can possibly get to try to form government, because just take a look at the polls. We could be looking at a fourth liberal mandate and a real mandate, not just this fake mandate that we're living under right now. It could be a real liberal government. And I'll tell you this, this is the message. So there was really two things there. Number one, yes, I fully expect the conservatives to fulfill their promise. I know it's weird asking, you know, expecting people when they promise you something for them to do it. That's not how politics works, but that's how I work. And I think that's how you work as well. So I fully expect them to do that. For one, they would destroy their base and they need every single vote they can get. And for two, it's the right thing to do. Now, if we fail to win this election, you can count on it. Take this to the bank. Within a 12-month period, the Liberals will roll out the buyback for individuals, okay? And it'll cost them $10 billion. They might even do handguns too, to get rid of those too. It'll cost them $10 billion. They'll just tack that on to the debt. Your children will be paying interest on that for 30 years. And they'll just do it. They'll just blow that money. They'll take back whatever firearms, they'll buy back whatever firearm owners are willing to sell them. And they'll be like, that's it. Now, once all that money is spent and some number of firearms are collected and destroyed, that's over in Canada, okay? That's one thing to understand. That's what's going to happen. Like in my mind, it's 100%, right? They're already trying to cobble together something that looks like an individual buyback today, including sending you letters saying, hey, just write down everything you have or you might not get paid for it, because we're going to pull this up later when the money gets doled out, right? And so again, we want you to register these guns to sell to us, right? So they want your information. They'll do all kinds of stuff, but they will roll that out really quick if they win. And then it'll be over. And as far as what they're going to take, you know, it's funny because guys are like, you know, the guys come, they're like, yo, none of this has to do with public safety. This is stupid. It's like, bro, I know. Now this has been, I've been having the same conversation for 10 years. The purpose of these gun bans really are two things. Number one, they are to scare urban voters and to trick them into voting for them, right? Like, oh, we're the only ones that can protect you from Rod and, you know, the sports shooting and the training. Like, can you imagine? We got to shut that guy down because shootings. And the second reason they do these things is to continually show that they are not accountable for firearm-related violence in Canada. This crazy chaos and crime and violence that we're seeing in the country. I had a police officer tell me this past weekend about a home invasion for car keys that I didn't hear about on the media, where the homeowner actually was put on his knees and shot execution style for his keys. It's funny, the media didn't bring that one out. I had to hear that directly from the police. Isn't that interesting, hey? That's what's going on out there. Literally shot execution style in his home for his keys. Oh, just leave them at the front door, give people what they want, and then, you know, they'll leave you alone. You know, that makes me frustrated. So yeah, they use the gun bans to be like, hey, that's not true. That's not actually really happening. You know, firearm-related violence going down because of gun control, and we're still at it, you know? So it's never going to stop. So here's what you need to do. If this is your last chance, on one side you have that's what's going to happen, and on the other side you have a political party that says we're going to smash the criminals down and this whole crime-ridden Canada is over and you get all your stuff back. It's all this stuff goes away or they take everything away. That's your choice. And so the reason why I put that out to you is, what are you willing to do to get your stuff back and to get your life back and to make Canada safer? What are you willing to do for that? Right? A lot of people are supporting the CCFR. A lot of people wrote letters or whatever. But right now the finish line is right there. The finish line is right in front of us. So now is not the time to be exhausted. I'm exhausted. I'm done with this whole ridiculous running against the wall thing. I'm done with all these crazy people I have to deal with, but I ain't giving up anytime soon. We are right at the finish line and we need every single vote. So here's what we all need to do if we want to do this. Look at the polls, every vote. We need like literally every single vote. So you need to be a leader in your own community. I told a lot of people this over the past weekend. Number one, you are going to look at when early voting is. You're not going to vote on election day. The first day of early voting, that's your target, because we as human beings will come up with 15 different reasons why we're too tired, too busy, this, that, the other thing. Oh, I just can't do it. Oh, I had other commitments, whatever. And next thing you know, you don't vote. Not only do you have to vote on that first day, but you need to find four people at least to take with you to the polls in your vehicle, or meet them there at a specific time so that you all go in together. If you don't do that, if you don't show that leadership, everyone is going to have an excuse about why they didn't go. And you only have to lose by one vote. And the seat is gone. It goes to the Liberals. Okay? So make it your responsibility to find the people in your life that you can drive to the polls yourself in your car. All right? Now, if you got people that you're like, well, I'm working on my brother-in-law, whatever, forget them. Okay? Don't waste your time. You do not have time to fool around with people who can't see what's in front of their face. You got to move on. Find the people that will vote with you, that votes for a future for Canadians, and find those people and take them to the polls yourself. If you can't do this leadership, you can't perform this leadership or show up when it really counts, we're going to lose it. So we all have to make it our business to be a leader. So really, really important. Family, friends, hunting buddies, church friends, get the gun club. Get your gun club to start sending out emails in your email newsletter that talks about what a precarious position our entire culture and heritage is in right now. I know the gun clubs don't want to be political. I get that. But the gun club will not exist without any members. And you know what? A good portion of gun club membership is from people that are forced to buy memberships because they have restricted firearms or prohibs, right? That's it. It's do or die for everybody. So be a leader, get people to the polls yourself. Okay. You have to take that responsibility if we're going to win this. Anyway. All right. Lecture's over. Thank you for listening to that. It's really important. I don't want to lose again, man. And I can only do so much. You know, we only can do so much over here. It's your guys' time to shine. It's your guys' time to take that 1-2 hours or whatever it is at the end of all this, 2 hours of effort, 3 hours, 4 hours of effort. If you got to drive someplace or whatever, stand in line. To make this happen, we got to do it. It's do or die now. So, all right. Anyway, thanks very much, everyone, for listening. Thanks so much for your support. Take care. We'll see you in the next one.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.